Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been discussing the subject, what is scriptural marriage and family life? We've tried to take our directions from the Word of God itself. I want to emphasize several things as we begin another one of these discussions of this subject. First of all, our authority is God's Word. Sometimes we listen to men, we listen to people, we listen to what a church might say, or something or other. But the main authority we have is the Word of God itself. The Word of God answers every question. It gives us very clear directions. And I want to respectfully say this, we are under the teaching in churches and so forth of other people. But our teaching comes from the Word of God. And when teaching differs from the Word of God, then we should be very wary of that teaching. This is true of people who come to our home and try to sell us some religion that they're peddling. We have to be very careful that what they're teaching is only from the Word of God, and it's in perfect agreement with the Word of God. Now, the Word of God applies to every area of our lives. It applies to our salvation. The Word of God very clearly teaches us we are saved only by grace, the grace and mercy of God, and through faith in the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin. There is no other means of salvation we can have. There is no other way to go to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other person, there is no other thing that we can do that will save us from our sins except coming to the Lord Jesus as our only possible means of salvation. And so, the Word of God. And the second thing is that God has put on this earth people who are in charge of other people. Let me put this more respectfully. I'm speaking now of the parent-child relationship and how important this relationship is and how important that we parents are everything God wants us to be, that we're spiritual, that we're in right relationship with the Lord Himself, that we ourselves are the tender, loving, kind parents children need, but at the same time, we're following biblical principles. Now today, I want to begin a series of a couple of messages on the subject, what should children expect from their parents? We just finished talking about what parents should expect from their children. And sometimes we parents don't like this to be turned around. In other words, my children must listen to me. It doesn't matter what they expect of me. It matters what I tell them. No, it does matter what we are to them, what kind of an example we set, what kind of an influence we are on their lives. It matters to God and it matters to our children. And so we have a responsibility in these areas. And so I want to spend a couple of messages just talking about what children should expect from their parents. First of all, I want to mention the idea of spiritual attitudes. Spiritual attitudes. Many times, parents have a complaining spirit. The children hear this in the home. They're listening to their parents talking with each other. They're worried about this thing and that thing. It may be that the parents lack something that they earnestly desire, some possession they earnestly desire. They're complaining, you know, about not having this possession and so forth. In other words, their attitudes are not right in life. And the children are watching this all the time. I believe in having a strong spiritual attitude and having a positive spiritual attitude towards life, that no matter what the circumstances of life might be, we still have a strong, positive, spiritual attitude towards life. I'm thinking now of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. The Apostle Paul now is in prison. Anything but an ideal situation for him to be in. He's in prison. He's suffering. Some have treated him badly. We learned this in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians. Some have treated him badly. Even some have even preached against him, Paul says, supposing to add to my affliction. In other words, they were maliciously treating Paul. And so he's in bad circumstances from a human standpoint. But this book of Philippians is a book of rejoicing. It's a book where the Apostle Paul says, I'm not going to let these things destroy my confidence in God Himself, my strong faith in Him, and also, I'm not going to let these things change my attitudes in life. And so in Philippians chapter 4, Paul can say things like this, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. In other words, I'm not going to complain. He had mentioned negative things that could have happened in his life. Sometimes he didn't always have enough to eat. Sometimes he didn't have enough money to use. Sometimes he was badly treated. You study some of the persecutions and sufferings he went through and so forth. But the Apostle Paul could say with certainty and with finality, I am persuaded whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. In other words, I have a spiritual attitude in life. Parents need to demonstrate this to the children. No matter what their circumstances might be, they'll have a strong spiritual attitude. Now, at the risk of taking too much time on this point, I want to add something. When I was growing up, as a small child and then as a youth, we were living in very, very poor circumstances. It was during the Great Depression in America, in the late 20s, the early 30s, and the late 30s. We were going through very difficult times. And I remember as a very small child, the strong attitude my mother and father had. They were spiritual people. They had a strong spiritual attitude. And nothing was going to defeat them or discourage them. We always had enough to eat. We didn't have everything we wanted to have. And so nothing would defeat them. Another thing that a child should expect from a parent is spiritual consistency. Spiritual consistency. It means that parents do not go up and down in their spiritual lives, up and down in their conduct. They always have the same love and concern for the Lord, for His Word, for their absolute obedience to Him, which they expect of the child. In other words, a parent is spiritually consistent, especially in their Christian lives, and then in their conduct, because the Christian life translates into conduct itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I teach young people, and I've learned this in my own life, I've learned to practice this in my own life, that living for the Lord, living with the Lord, living in right relationship with the Lord is a lifelong matter. In other words, it's not simply something I decide as a young person, and then when I'm a young adult, I abandon it. But rather, it's a lifelong thing. Throughout my life, I must maintain right relationship with the Lord. And from Him, I must learn what right conduct is. And I must demonstrate this lifelong conduct that God expects of me, so that I never bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus in any way. But throughout my life, until I actually die and go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus, I am still living consistently before God. And I'm demonstrating a testimony that never would bring shame to the name of Jesus. The next thing that a child should expect is spiritual concern. Spiritual concern. You see this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, and then in 15 to 19. Now I realize this is the concern of Paul for the people of a certain church, the Philippian church in this case. But it translates into a parent-child relationship as well. And that is that the parent daily demonstrates genuine spiritual concern for the spiritual well-being, first of all, of each other, the husband and wife in their relationship, and then also for the spiritual well-being of their children. And they show this by the way they faithfully maintain their own godly testimony and spiritual example in the home, the way they lead the family in daily family worship, and spend time daily in dealing with the spiritual needs of each other and their children. Now that's a rather long sentence, but let me just explain it for a moment. This is a matter also of consistency, that a parent needs to show always this spiritual concern. Sometimes as parents we get so busy, we have no time really for the concerns of the family. The family will not simply take care of itself. The family needs to be taken care of. And it's a parent's responsibility to take care of the family and to guard this family all the time and to guard it consistently and to show this spiritual concern that God expects him to show. The next thing is spiritual and tender love. Spiritual and tender love. And how important this is. Before, in a message, I used 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, where the Apostle Paul uses the example of a mother who's holding a tiny, tiny little child. We call this a nursing child. But she's holding this tiny child. She holds it so tenderly and so lovingly. She would never shake this child. She would never in any way hurt this child. Even the way she speaks to the child is in a tender and loving manner. And anyone who comes in speaks quietly and tenderly also to the child. Now this is what we mean when we speak of tender love. In the home, the child needs to feel the same thing. Whether that child is a baby or not is not the question. The child now may be already 9, 10, 11 years of age, but they need to know that they have a mother and a father who show tender and loving care for them, who have this tender attitude towards them. I've learned that this must also be expressed even when we have to discipline a child. A child should know that the hand that may spank them is also the hand of love. In other words, they can depend upon that person. That person is doing it in love because the child needs that discipline. But the child is tenderly loved by the parent, even in the midst of discipline. The next thing is spiritual sympathy. Spiritual sympathy. Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Now in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul has been treated in various ways. First of all, he's been treated very tenderly and very lovingly and very sympathetically by many of the Christians throughout the Roman Empire. Especially now, the Christians of places like Thessalonica and places like Philippi. These were very, very spiritual churches. Even when Paul was in prison in Rome, they still had this tender love and sympathy for him. They deeply, deeply cared for this servant of God. And so even while he was far away in Rome, they would send gifts to him. They would send people to visit him and to spend time with him and to comfort and encourage him so they could feel this spiritual sympathy. On the other hand, there were also people who were making life more difficult for him. He speaks of these people also in this passage of Scripture. Where were they from? They may have been from a church like Corinth. Corinth and its people had very little love for the Apostle Paul. He had had to rebuke them very sharply. In 12 different ways, he had to rebuke them in 1 Corinthians. And you can see already in 2 Corinthians, they had turned against him. They were critical of him. They were tearing down his character, tearing down his motives, everything. They were tearing down about him. And so these people in Corinth, perhaps, were the ones who were causing him now distress in the prison situation. They were preaching against him, and as Paul said, supposing to add to my affliction. And so children need not the latter kind of person, but they need the person who has strong spiritual sympathy for them. One other thing I want to take, and then I must close. The parent also has spiritual sensitivity. Spiritual sensitivity. The Apostle Paul could say not only how tenderly he spoke to them, but he also spoke to the Corinthians in a sensitive way. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8 would be an example of this, and many other passages in the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians speak of this sensitivity that Paul had. Now, what does this mean? Sometimes we parents are insensitive to our children, the way we talk to them, the attitudes we show toward them, the way we don't really show respect for their feelings and the things that they're going through and so forth. And sensitivity is very, very important. I have learned in counseling, and we do a lot of counseling while we're here at Harvest. In the 5 weeks each part of the year, we come 10 weeks a year, and we come in two different times, periods of times, that is. And I've learned to be very sensitive to the ones I'm trying to counsel. I've learned to respect their feelings and to not offend them in any way, even when I have to sometimes give strong advice to them. Maybe they have a problem that desperately needs to be dealt with. But even still, I'd be sensitive. Children need the same thing. Well, I need to stop here. But I want to pray that you parents who are listening will be willing to listen to the needs and the expectations of your children. In other words, your children have a right to expect something of you. And this means that we as parents, and I'm a parent and a grandparent, we as parents must be everything God wants us to be. We must meet the expectations of people, not unreasonable ones, but ones that are reasonable and right before God. May God help you to be the kind of a parent who is meeting the needs of your children.